I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, not all sweetness and yards gained. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
NCAA President Mark Emmert proposed that conferences should be allowed to offer a $2,000 increase in grants to student-athletes to cover the, quote, full cost of attendance, and the NCAA Board of Directors voted aye on Thursday. So, that should end all the talk about how a billion-dollar industry that doesn't pay its workers shouldn't be tolerated, right?
Yes, because they're being quite clear that the $2,000, quote, full cost of attendance is not pay for play.
No.
Of course not. It's available to every student on campus. Once again, the NCAA is delaying the inevitable and doing a really bad job of it by throwing up, you know, essentially paper walls of euphemism against you know, what everybody, every thinking human being in the world knows it's going to have to do eventually.
Paper walls of euphemism. I'm going to have to scribble that down.
I think that was a King Crimson album. I think I stole that from them.
Well, it should be the name of a rock band. The NCAA also approved stricter academic standards for teams that would like to participate in the postseason. Do you think they knew ahead of time that the new rules would knock perennial contender UConn out of the 2013 men's basketball tournament?
I almost glibly answered no, but then I'm beginning to think, you know, if they really wanted to make a point, this would be a really good way to do it. You have to have a two-year average score of 930 or a four-year average of 900 on the NCAA's annual academic progress rate, which I don't even want to begin to estimate the math on. And Connecticut's, alas, scored an 826 for the 2009-2010 school year.
The excitement of a seventh game notwithstanding, the numbers suggest that a relatively small number of people watched the World Series on television. Should Major League Baseball be worried?
I don't think so. I think we are at a historic low point for television ratings for all sports, but I would point out that the two games over the weekend, which were paired up against really awful football games elsewhere, a 12-7 Jacksonville Jaguars win over Baltimore, and New Orleans beating Indianapolis 62-7, the World Series game won both of those head-to-heads. Anytime baseball beats football in a head-to-head at this time of year is a significant event. So, no, I don't think baseball should be that worried.
Personally, I think baseball should be worried when a third baseman on a team in the World Series can't catch a pop-up.
How about when a right fielder decides to take the circuit route through Arkansas
to get to the
World Series-ending fly ball?
It's a somewhat dated story now, of course, since the series is over, but can you explain to me how in Game 5 of the World Series in 2011, when even the Bat Boys have smartphones, the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals can't successfully get the right pitchers up in the bullpen?
Yeah, apparently things were a little bit too loud and nobody could hear anybody in the wrong pitcher. Came in to pitch against Mike Napoli and resulted in a two-run double that won the game for Texas. I don't know. Perhaps it's better just to go to Semaphore or something in situations like that. I would pay a lot of money to see Tony La Russa with those little flags. He'd blow his rotator cuff by the third inning.
Elsewhere in baseball news, Theo Epstein has finally joined the Chicago Cubs as president of baseball operations. His old pal and former colleague with the Red Sox, Jed Hoyer, has left the San Diego Padres to join Epstein, becoming GM in Chicago. So, how long before the Cubs win everything for the first time since 1908?
Well, 2 years, right? I mean, that's Theo's track
record.
Okay, the one thing he will do, and he's already begun to do it by bringing in Jed Hoyer, he will build a terrific front office staff out there. The Chicago Cubs' comedy of errors in terms of player acquisition, those days are at an end right now.
All right, let's see. Your name is Frank McCourt.
No, it's not. Here's a buck.
You're in a bitter court battle with your ex-wife. Major League Baseball is accusing you of, quote, looting nearly $190 million from the L.A. Dodgers. How could you possibly further diminish your reputation?
You go after the guy in the coma. That's what you do. Brian Stowe was the guy who got beaten into a coma outside a Dodgers game and is now suing the Dodgers for failing to keep a civil environment where you wouldn't get beaten into a coma at one of their baseball games, because he still happened to be wearing some San Francisco Giants gear. The Dodgers are now saying he shares the blame for being beaten up. This is going to be their defense in court. This is going to be one of those things where if you happen to be like one of the Dodgers' lawyers, you immediately, when the case is adjudged one way or the other, you immediately leave, get drunk for 5 days, and join a monastery. Because you've plainly wasted your life.
It's without a question. In an attempt to facilitate his return to the National Football League, Terrell Owens staged a televised workout and invited the scouts to Calabasas High School for that workout. And how'd that workout work out?
He's been offered a contract by the AFL. No, it's not 1961, and we're not talking about the Denver Broncos or the Houston Oilers. We're not talking about
the old Patriots.
We're not talking about sending him to Balboa Stadium or Jeppesen Stadium or any of those other places. We're talking about arena ball, ladies and gentlemen. The human video game that everybody loves. So, yes, he's got a chance in football. It's just not real football.
I've heard you can make $400 a week. Meanwhile, Reggie Bush is not making many new friends in Miami. After the Dolphins lost their sixth game of the season last week, Bush said, and I'm quoting, "This team stinks. His teammates are not pleased." What? Does an 0-6 record deserve to be characterized any other way?
I refer you to libel law. Truth is an absolute defense. You guys do stink. Don't get mad at Reggie Bush. Stop stinking.
With a terse but not unexpected announcement on Wednesday, women's pro soccer let us all know that the franchise known as Magic Jack will play no more. Do you suppose Abby Wambach and Hope Solo will catch on with another team somewhere?
I don't suspect they'll have a problem, but I think Dan Borislow, the obstreperous owner who has insulted virtually everybody, including you.
he called me a dumbass.
I know that. He can't do that to you. Only I can do that to you. He's filed suit against the Women's Professional Soccer League in a Florida court, and the league, meanwhile, released a statement accusing him of violations ranging from unprofessional and disparaging treatment of his players to failure to pay his bills, and nothing in there about disparaging treatment of NPR sports hosts.
I understand that anybody who's still looking for a Halloween costume and might long to pretend to be an NFL player is in luck, Charlie.
You can get a pair of Tim Tebow's game-worn pants from last year's game against the Kansas City Chiefs. They're on eBay for a penny below $5,000. Yes, friends, you can get into Tim Tebow's pants.
I can see that coming from around the corner, around the block, in another town altogether.
Another time zone! A joke beyond the event horizon.
Charlie Pierce blogs about politics for Esquire magazine and joins me each week at this time on Only a Game. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.